What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Rockcast. Jordan Budd here. And today is November 5th, a highly anticipated day for a lot of whitetail hunters. This first week is usually pretty good, and it's been good to us here in Nebraska. We've just been a little unfortunate, and we've come up with three misses for our hunters. They've missed three times. So we still have a few days left in their hunt, so hopefully we can get another buck back in front of them and they can get it done. But deer's definitely starting to chase, and it's just really, really cool and fun to see. So last Saturday, we just released Radio Communication Podcast with Chaz Carmichael. He talks about a bunch of radios. He did a Midland radio review, and that was a really good one. And then we did the Saturday before that, we had Floorless Shelters with Josh Boyd and tarps and things like that, kind of debunking some myths and just having a floorless shelter in general. And then a new Rockslide article that just came out. Robbie Denning just wrote an article on that Nikon ED50 compact spotting scope. It's just a tiny little spotting scope. We talked about it a bit in a previous podcast where we were comparing it to the Maven. And so he did the kind of the head-to-head on those, and then this review, the written review, just came out for the Nikon. So go check that out over on rockslide.com. And then over on the forums, don't forget about the photo contests that are going on. There's a whitetail, there's a mule deer, and there's an elk. And enter your photo from this 2019 season and get entered in to win. Basically, the Rockslide staff members are going to vote on, you know, the top three or top five pictures, and then it turns over to the forum members to vote on, and then you can win prizes and things like that for the best, basically best photo from those. So make sure to check that out. And then we are still doing the Rockslide film contest this year. I've had probably five people, and I actually picked another one up yesterday. So, you know, five, six films, people have said that they're going to do it. So I'm assuming at least most of those will go ahead and submit one, which will be great. And basically the rules on that are going to be about the same as the photo contest. So it has to be a hunt from this season, 2019 season. Something else for videos is, you know, your music, it has to be licensed music. It can't be mainstream, like the stuff you hear on the radio, unless you can get it licensed, which is kind of difficult. So it needs to be all licensed music. There's a number of sources you can go to, but basically what you need is royalty free. And basically that means if you pay for it once, then you can use it. There's some different things in there, but it's really easy to find. Just go to Google and type in royalty free music, and you'll be able to find some songs for your video if you need some anyways. So they all have to be licensed, and then we're looking at between 5 and 15 minutes, and, you know, it has to be native HD 1920 by 1080. And then that's pretty much the criteria for that one. Another actually kind of big thing for the criteria is it has to be exclusive to us for the duration of the contest, which basically just means if you filmed it in the fall of 2019, if you already have it edited or whatever, just don't share it publicly on Rockslide or Facebook or whatever, and you'll hand it over to us. Basically, the rough draft deadline is January 1st. Give that to me so just I have an idea of kind of what we're, how many we're going to have and kind of what we're working with. And then January 15th is the hard deadline for the final draft. And then what we'll do is we'll put all the films up on the Rockslide YouTube channel, and then the Rockslide staffers will vote on the top three. Probably it's going to be three, so it's going to vote on the top three, and it's going to turn over to the forum members, and they're going to vote on what they feel is the best video, and then the winner will be announced February 1st. We're kind of finalizing what the, you know, kind of the title sponsor for this, like what's going to be the grand prize, and it's going to be a really good one. We just have a couple of things we need to wrap up before I just release what it is. So, yeah, but if you're interested in that, shoot me an email, jordan@rockslide.com, and I'll get you hooked up with everything basically everything you need, all the info you need. So there's that. Just go head over to the forums and check that out. And then still kind of moving over to the forums, hot forum threads. There's, you know, one of the big ones as we're moving into later season, the clothing section and the footwear section are just really hot right now with late season layering, late season footwear, trying to stay warm, all things like that. So just basic sections to go check out if you want to be able to, or if you want to pick up some tips on staying warm this winter, because I think it's going to be dang cold when it's already super cold here. So there's that. And then I actually just started a thread on two different bino harnesses that I'm doing a head-to-head review on. So the Outdoor Vision Ridgetop bino harness and then the ADAC harness. And both are similar in that they're both full containment, so they completely cover your binoculars. Unlike something like the marsupial, that the sides are open. I had some issues with like dirt, and if it was really wet, you know, it can definitely get into your eye cups or whatever. So that one is over on the forums as well, just kind of doing a, we call them a semi-live review. So you can go on there and ask questions. I'll answer them as good as I can. Other people can chime in that have tried these bino harnesses and kind of can give their two cents as well. So that's over on the forums. Go check that one out too. And then some new products that we're trying. When we were in, we were down whitetail hunting in Kansas last week, I think. And my feet got kind of cold in the stand. I mean, you know, especially when you go from very active hunting to not active at all hunting. My feet just got cold. You know, your hands get cold, whatever. There's the basic heaters that, you know, little like hand warmers you can get. You just tear open and they're good for like 6 hours or whatever. But I wanted something that I could control a little bit more. And I've tried heated socks before, and I know they work, and I tried them a while ago, so they've probably gotten better. But one thing with heated socks I wasn't a big fan of is like you can feel the wires going through the socks. So the other option I had was heated insoles. I kind of put a message out on my Instagram account asking people what insoles they used, and basically everybody said the insoles suck, so I didn't really get much feedback on that. But I went ahead and jumped on Amazon, and I really wish there was a better place I could send people to than Amazon. But I found some insoles on there for, when I bought them last week, they were $40. When I just looked them up again today to put the link in the show notes, they were like $52. So I don't know, maybe people are starting to notice, you know, maybe they're starting to sell more of them, jacking the price up. But they're called Warm Fits off of Amazon. I looked at some other ones. I looked at the Thermacell ones. The Thermacell reviews were very, very mixed. These Warm Fits were a lot better. They don't have like it's just basically a battery that you put in this little sleeve and you put it around your ankle. And then the insoles slip in the bottom of your boots, obviously. There's a wire that comes off of that, a wire that comes from the battery, and then you can plug them in. And there's only one setting. I mean, they're either plugged in or they're not. But they got warm. And I haven't used them a bunch yet. I've only had them a few days. But if you're getting ready to go on a whitetail hunt or something, you're worried about your feet, give those a look. Just, you know, $50. Some of those Thermacell ones were like over 100, I think, like 90, over 100 bucks, something like that. So for 40, 50 bucks, apparently, depending what day you look on Amazon, you can get these in it. I think it's going to help at least. So just a little tidbit there. And moving on to news from over at Go Hunt. This is pretty tragic and kind of a freak accident, really. Well, a freak deal. A hunter in Arkansas was hunting deer. Deer came out. He shot it. He watched it fall. He walked over to it. The deer was not dead. It jumped up and gored him. And I guess sounds like he called his wife, said, hey, I need help. And by the time, like EMS, and they actually brought Flight for Life in, and they delayed him getting on the Flight for Life helicopter because they had to do CPR. and I believe they pronounced him dead at the scene. So be sure that your animals are, obviously dead when you just walk up to it and try to grab its antlers or something. Just make sure. Obviously, that's a freak deal, but that guy didn't think it was going to happen to him. So just be cautious of that. And Missouri elk season, sounds like they're going to try to get elk season in Missouri going for the 2020 or 2021 season, but it is underway. And honestly, a place I never thought I'd see an elk season, but whatever. And then over in Wyoming in the Grand Tetons, they're doing a mountain goat removal. Apparently, the mountain goats are non-native in the Grand Tetons, and I think it said there's about 100 of them total, so they're going to kill them all, and the reason they're going to do that is because they want to preserve the habitat for the native wild sheep population, the bighorn sheep population. So that's going on. If you want some more info on that, obviously, just check it in the show notes, and there's a link that'll go right to it. And finally, moving on to the hot minute, I'm going to talk about packing for airline travel a little bit. Now that we have some whitetail hunters coming in, and mule deer hunters as well, but, you know, just hunters in general coming in, some of them are flying, some of them haven't really flown to a hunt before, they've always driven, so they've been asking me a lot of questions on, like, well, how would you pack for airline travel? What's the best way to do it? And then even getting meat back. I think I've talked about this a little bit in some other podcasts, but we're just going to dedicate this hot minute just to packing for airline travel. So kind of the first thing with your checked baggage, you want to get it to 50 pounds or you don't want to get it over 50 pounds. So that's the biggest one. And how I always used to pack when I would travel and film and whatever is I would have like my backpack that I was going to take on the hunt. That would be my carry-on. And especially for like whitetail hunting or something, you can definitely get a pack or take a pack that's like TSA compliant and good for airline travel for a carry-on, which is like, I think it's 22 inches top to bottom. And then I don't remember the rest, but I'll link to some information to maybe one of the major airlines. I'll link to it down in the show notes. But 50 pounds is kind of your mark. I've had people, if it's like 51 pounds, they've had me take my boots out before to get it down to the 50. But if you go over 50, they're going to hit you for a heavy weight fee. And a lot of times that heavy, it seems to vary. I swear it seems to vary, but if you go over that 50 pound mark, they're going to hit you for that heavy weight fee. And it might be at that point, it might be cheaper just to ship stuff to where you're going. So that's one thing that if you're really uncomfortable with, you know, the packing and you can't really get it down to what you want, maybe some of the heavier items or bulkier items, you can just ship them up and send them to where you're going, and then they're already there and you don't really have to mess with it too much. And that bag might be kind of expensive anyways, because if you have your bow case or you have your rifle case, which is going to count as another bag. So, I mean, there's going to be some fees there for sure. The best way to handle that is just to look on the airline that you're going to use. And they do a pretty good job of kind of spelling all that out of what they charge for, you know, second bags or whatever. But utilize that gun or bow case and stuff clothes in it, you know, stuff as much clothes in it as you can, and then take like a big duffel full of your other stuff. And then in my carry-on backpack, I always try to keep my optics in there. For one, optics are heavy just because glass is heavy. And for two, I don't want those things getting broken or lost or whatever. Those are probably the most expensive items that you're going to have with you. So I try to keep that all in my backpack. Obviously, for a whitetail hunt, you're probably just going to have binoculars, but still, every ounce counts or every pound counts, I guess, when you're trying to get your bag under 50 pounds. And then the meat. This one is kind of interesting. You know, really with a whitetail, you're not going to get that much meat off of it, especially when you debone it, kind of clean it up. So this is what we did with Christy's hunt last year, is she brought, I really liked the way she did it, and I tried to kind of recommend people do the same thing. It seems to work pretty good. Is you can ship them for sure, especially if you have a processor close or if you have time to completely break it down and whatever, and you can freeze it solid, you can go ahead and ship it back to your house. And you might just want to do a little price checking on that just to get an idea, because this is basically what Christy did. Is she had two bags, so she has like a duffel, you know, a big duffel bag, and then she actually brought another duffel bag with her, and then she brought those like soft lunch coolers that are, I don't know, maybe 12 inches by 12 inches ish and dang, I don't know, maybe not quite 6 inches deep, but maybe. And so she shot her deer, we skinned him out, deboned him. She just basically did her processing there and did her cuts, put them into Ziploc bags because that's what we had. We froze them completely solid, and then between her two big duffel bags, she had a couple of those soft coolers, and she just packed the meat in it and just shuffled things around until both were about the same weight, you know, around the 50-pound mark, under 50 pounds for sure, so she wasn't going to get hit with an over-baggage fee. And then she just had her gun case that she packed full of a bunch of her clothes or whatever, and then she actually, you know, she went home three bags. But that process was a little bit cheaper than it would be to just ship the meat, because it was going to be heavy for just one box. And it kept it all with her so she didn't have to mess with stuff later or do extra things or, you know, it was a weekend, the post office wasn't open, all kinds of things. And then with her antlers, she basically just, I think she put them in her bag. She just put them in a checked bag. We actually got my buddy here to power wash off most of what the deer had on him, like meat wise or whatever. And then we got most of it off of as we could. And then as a precaution, we froze it and then put a plastic bag around it and just taped the heck out of the skull cap and then put it in her backpack and or her check bag. And she took it right home, and it wasn't really a big deal at all. But kind of back to the packing side of things. So that's basically what I used to do, is I would have a carry-on. I'd have all my optics, heavier things in it that you can think of, kind of, you know, anything that I could carry. My freaking carry-on was heavy because I could carry it on and they didn't weigh it, whatever. So I put a bunch of stuff in there and then packed a duffel bag. Just make sure it's under 50 pounds. And then if you're doing a gun or a bow case or whatever, make sure that thing is, you know, stuffed as full as you can get it. It'll kind of help keep the bow or gun or whatever really tight in that case as well. There's just other things packed around it. Yeah. And that's pretty much it. And kind of the last thing is just be aware of the TSA locks, like TSA approved locks is what I would get for your gun or bow case. They actually require it, and I think if you don't have it, they're going to cut it off. So whichever padlock you have on it, they're going to cut it off. So that's not a good situation. But that's basically what I do to pack for airline travel. Don't get too stressed out about it. It's fairly straightforward. Just be sure to hop on to the airline that you're going to be on, hop onto their website, and just go through all that stuff and make sure you have stuff in line. And keep that big bag under 50 pounds is one of the biggest things. And then, yeah, go hunt and have fun. Don't stress out about it too much. Upcoming episodes this Saturday, we will release the Cooler Showdown episode with Travis Bertrand. He talked to us about a bunch of different coolers that he's used over the years and kind of how they compared and kind of all links up to his article that he wrote. He's been doing it actually for the last 2, 3, maybe 4 years. He's been doing this big cooler showdown, and he just packs a bunch of coolers that are similar sized with ice and sees which one lasts the longest. And there's other things in there obviously that he adds on with things that the which way the latches go down, what kind of latches they use, size, if they're accurate to what they say they are for size. So he goes through all that. And yeah, so that's basically what's coming up. Hope everybody has a good Tuesday, a great week. And for all those in the whitetail stand, good luck. And we'll talk to you on the next one.